and thank you for tuning in to Agenda Awani with me, Cynthia Ng. Now, from the 20th till the 22nd of June, Kuala Lumpur will take center stage as it plays host to the AVPN Global Conference as well as the Hasana Forum 2023. And joining me on the show today are two exceptional women who have taken on the mammoth task of spearheading high impact social investment. It is my pleasure to welcome Nena Subbarabhadra, the CEO of AVPN, as well as I'm so honored to have joined by Dato' Shahira Ahmad Bazari, the Managing Director of Yayasan Hasana. Great to have you back on Astro Awani.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming here to talk a bit about the event that's happening in June. But before we dive into the details, I would like to get an overview of the state of social impact investing, if we can start with Dato. Yep. Talk to us about the situation here in Malaysia.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Cynthia, for inviting me back. And it's great to see you again. We're really honored to be hosting this event in June. And I feel that it is such an important conversation that we need to bring to Malaysia. You asked about the current landscape. Of course, we are all just coming out from the pandemic and we saw the vulnerabilities and the gaps of our social protection systems and how quite a lot of the work that has been done before kind of, you know, rolled back because now we have to restart. But what was important was that the pandemic exposed some of the need and also the vulnerabilities of our society. And I think you asked about the social impact sector. The heroes amongst many during the pandemic were our civil society organizations and the social enterprises who really stepped up to help government hand in hand and communities in terms of the kind of help that we need. So I think the ecosystem is really exciting now for Malaysia, and that's why Hasana is so excited and happy to actually partner with the AVPN to bring these conversations to Malaysia. I do think that the sector is thriving. Mm-hmm. You do see that a lot of great progress. Now we do have additional funding to support civil society and social enterprises. You mentioned about, of course, the whole movement on ESG and sustainability is allowing the convergence now from the for-profit sector and the social impact sector are now converging, because the convergence is what's going to be giving us the real impact in terms of what we need to do. The other thing I'm hopeful about are young people, and the advent of technology. I think young people are looking for purpose in terms mm-hmm. of the kind of work that they're looking at. They realize that they're going to be taking the brunt of climate crisis, inequalities, and a lot of the things that we're seeing happening. I think young people are stepping up, and I think it's our role as corporates and as public-private people sectors to also support that aspiration of our next generation. Technology has been amazing, and mm-hmm. there are a lot of opportunities there. I think social enterprises and civil society organizations have been recognized, and we're seeing a lot more funding going into it. And I think with the AVPN bringing in the impact investment community to the country, I think there's a lot that we can look forward to for the sector.
It is very encouraging to hear you say that there's more funding now to look into social impact investing. Mm-hmm. Of course, speaking about the lingering impacts of COVID-19, some businesses are taking a more cautious approach when it comes to where do they spend their money. So Naina, do you feel personally and in your work, do you feel there's more gravitation towards social impact investing, or businesses are taking a more cautious approach when it comes to allocating their funds?
Thank you, Cynthia, for having me on the show. Very excited to be here and very excited to bring the global conference to Malaysia. Just for your viewers, AVPN is a network of social investors, and we are a network. We are the largest social investment network across Asia. So I will share some insights from Asia and then relate them to Malaysia as well. As Dato' Shahira said, there is, post-pandemic, a lot of awareness about the need for social investment mm-hmm. and for social impact from businesses, from individuals, from philanthropists. I think, and as Dato' Shahira said, it is the young who are also driving this, because this is the world that they are going to inherit. And what we are also seeing actually is the growth of the amount of wealth in this part of the world. So one of the things we have also seen in the pandemic, post the pandemic, is that Asia and the wealth in Asia continues to grow, whether that be wealth through family offices, whether that be wealth through local corporates. And therefore, I think it's really important that Asia takes the lead in terms of actually investing this wealth with purpose in mind. And that is something that we are finding now more and more, not just amongst multinational corporates, mm-hmm. but amongst local corporates as well, the desire to really look at investment in a holistic form. So to really look at their investment from an ESG perspective, because not only is that good for the community, but I think research and data has shown that if companies comply with ESG metrics, their financial performance is also better. Mm-hmm. They are also more attractive to investors. And we are finding more and more as wealth, especially in our part of the world, there is this transfer of wealth from, you know, the older generation to the younger generation. The younger generation is taking a much more active call in terms of their investment decisions by moving their dollars where there is more impact. And therefore, I think it is the market that is pushing these corporates to move from just ticking the box to actually really looking at their impact in a more holistic form.
Overall, of course, certainly we want to see more of this sort of investment, but while impact investing, ESG, SDGs, these are words are gaining so much attention, it is still considered a rather niche market. What do you think are the primary challenges or barriers that impede the broader adoption of social impact investing?
So one of the biggest barriers is actually a uniform metric for measurement. So if you're looking at investment, you have uniform accounting standards that actually help you evaluate what is the return on investment that you're getting for the capital that you're putting in. I think one of the challenges we face in measuring impact is that while we have now, you know, a number of different metrics that are used, there is not one universal metric that is used for measuring impact. And that, I think, has been the biggest challenge in really taking up larger volumes of capital for impact investment. But on the same token, and you know, I'd love Dr. Shahira to also step in, you're also finding large funds like Temasek, like Khazana, that are now looking at their own portfolios and saying, how are they going to put impact into it? So for example, at our conference, we have the head of impact investing for BlackRock, which is the largest asset manager in the world. And they have talked about how they want to actually put in impact into every investment that they make. So I think mainstream capital is waking up and realizing that they cannot just be putting capital in looking at only an economic return on investment. They need to also look at what is an impact return on their investment. Yeah. We need to do more work in terms of actually standardizing impact metrics, but I think there is more work happening. We are talking more openly about monitoring and evaluation, about measurement, and how does that actually also exist side by side with financial returns.
Okay. Well, let's get Shahira's point of view, especially from Malaysian perspective. Talk to us about the situation here. What's holding back impact investment among corporates here?
Yeah. So I just want to pick up on Nena's point on measurements, standardized definitions and understanding of, you know, impact investment. I'm sure if we do a quick test, all three of us may have different understanding and definitions of social impact sector or impact investing. And that's why I think the work that we're going to be doing coming in June is precisely trying to connect the spectrum of capital. So what Nena is talking about is a little bit more profit-driven or you know, higher end in terms of the impact investing. Of course, the philanthropic sector is actually taking quite a lot of the sort of it's like risk capital or, you know, or grant making, which is basically building capacity of these organizations. So we are hoping that what will happen in June will actually demonstrate how this continuum can work together, right? We're going to be having the impact investors, we're going to be having people like Temasek and Khazana and other large impact investors in the room. We're also going to be having large philanthropic organizations in the room. We're also going to be having a public policymakers in the room, for example. And I'm excited about the partnership because, you know, the AVPN, as Naina mentioned, is purely looking at the impact investing sector. But the impact investment sector cannot stand alone for precisely the kind of questions that you're asking, right? You know, what's the right measurement?
Yeah. You know? You have environment, yes, you have social,
yeah,
you have governance.
It can get quite technical, you know. I mean, how can someone sitting in, like, in the boardrooms try to kind of define what poverty eradication and the right matrix for poverty eradication to be, right? So the idea is to gel and start connecting these thought leaders. And I think it's the right time for us to do that. We've all been working in silos for a long time. And I'm really looking forward for this platform to actually bring all of the different players together and kind of make sense of what we need to do as humanity moving forward, because, you know, we are almost at the point of no return with the climate sort of situation. So I think it will be great to kind of, you know, our theme at the Hasana Forum is basically taking talk to action, you know, driving narrative to action. It's about hopefully, you know, bringing different people together. We can create certain kind of partnerships and, you know, to string these challenges that we spoke about into action.
I think businesses, individuals are waking up to the fact that doing good is good for business. But I think the biggest challenge, like you say, is how do you measure how impactful their investments have been in those areas? Naina, maybe you can share with us some of the interesting learnings that you have had, that you had to convert the perceptions of investors or where to move their money. What areas do you have to work on the most to change that mindset to say that, hey, doing good is good for long-term value of the company?
So I think it's, you know, the most important thing is when you have said you want to do impact or you want to do good, you oftentimes actually start debating it much more than when you're making, you know, just a purely economic decision on where to invest.
Why is that so?
I think because when we are looking at doing good, we think so much from the heart and it is so emotional for us that we oftentimes get paralyzed by trying to find perfection. And in this case, unfortunately, perfection is the enemy of the good. Because by waiting, you are just, you know, wasting time. And when you really look at investing for impact, especially starting from philanthropy, that is money that you have decided in your mind that you're going to give away for good. So give it away. It's not that hard. You know, you need to just say, I'm going to give this away. Is it going to work? Maybe. If it's not going to work, you had anyway planned to give that money away. So you don't need to think or overthink it that much. In terms of, you know, really looking at profit with purpose, which has now become, you know, quite a buzzword, and trying to change it from a cliche to something that we actually live and walk the talk. I mean, this is again something when we talk about purpose and we talk about impact, unlike the corporate sector where otherwise companies tend to compete with each other for market share. When we're talking about impact, it's actually a place where they can come together and collaborate. Because impact is for the good of all. Impact is for us to leave the world a better place than what we found it. To look at how do we make our society, our community better. So it's something that should naturally come for us to do together. But yet, it is something that we keep pushing. You know, you will find one organization that says, okay, I'm going to actually help clean this river, but I don't want to work with my competitor. I want to, you know, be responsible for saying, I clean the river. Well, you know, the goal should be that the river should be cleaned. Yeah. Whether you clean it or you plus three others clean it is not really that much of a problem. And I think that's where now, I think society, especially the young people, especially using technology, especially if you look at the net, we are holding up a mirror to these people and really saying, you know, are you doing this for the impact or are you doing this to talk about the impact? And I think that's where all of us should be holding each other responsible to say, you know, what is it that we are doing? What is it that we are doing in our own capacities? What is it that we are doing at the workplace? Are we asking our employers the difficult questions? When we choose to take a job, do we really look at the impact that that company is making? And I think when you ask a lot of young people, this is very important for them.
Dato' Shahira, do you have similar experiences in your work in Malaysia? Are they asking the right questions? Are they parting their money to the right places?
I think many people have the right intentions. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to harness and leverage on our collective wisdom and organizations. I think in this sector, I mean, I came from the for-profit and now in the development sector, in the social sector, and I do understand the challenges, right? And I think what I would say is all of us need to talk to each other a lot more. And if you think about quite a lot of the large corporations who now actually have their corporate foundations, we are the foundation of Khazanah National, for example, there is a lot of cross-learning. It's not that the foundation is a CSR arm and let them go and do whatever they do and we will continue to do our business. I think the time has come for all of these entities to speak to each other and learn from each other. And to make ESG and sustainability targets and goals become a reality materially, properly. And there's a lot that they can learn because I think corporate organizations who have been doing CSR for a long time and then now move to something a lot more strategic through foundations where their measurements are all properly measured and we've got proper KPIs, monitoring and evaluation. So these learnings, the companies can actually benefit from now. So it's not two separate things. And I do see the convergence, actually. I do see the need for us to bring these conversations to one single platform. And I think the work that AVPN is doing in bringing that investment lingo into the social space is so much needed. And you're driving that credibility. Mm. And then they're pulling the people who actually know the social space to speak to the financial and the investor guys, so that continuum can happen, and I think that's where that's where the market is moving to now.
Add one more thing, Cynthia, if you don't mind. So I think it's it's by also fostering kind of unusual collaborations that you're seeing this needle move. And I'll give you an interesting example. So we at AVPN have a youth opportunities platform and we lead something called APACT, which is a youth-led initiative for catalytic change. And what's really interesting is it matches young youth leaders with corporate leaders to try and see how you can bring a young person's mindset and a young person's idea for catalyzing change into a corporate. And we've done this in Malaysia, actually, which is, the initiative is called Jugaad, and it actually matches a young impact leader with a corporate. And in Malaysia, we've done that with Prudential. And the idea is really to look at how do you tackle financial illiteracy amongst Malaysian youths. And you have these young Malaysian youth impact leaders that are actually advising a large financial corporate on how they can actually help Malaysian youth to, overcome this financial illiteracy and look at, how do they become financially literate? How do they look at saving money, et cetera, et cetera. So it's by also fostering unusual collaborations. And as Shahira was saying, it's bringing different people together who otherwise may not talk.
Okay, I do want to get to the events shortly, but just one more question to Dato' Shahira. Are there specific industries or sectors you think that are particularly active in social impact investing in Malaysia, or any initiatives that you felt that you're really proud about?
Yeah, there's many, actually. There's a lot of what I call micro-magical stories of impact. And, you could never really paint them all in the same brush. But what I wanted to say is that they're just so many. So, for example, I think the major sort of investment over the years in Malaysia particularly is in education. There has been quite a lot of investment in the education sector, in the transformation of our public schools, in the improvement of student outcomes, in scholarships. So I think if you ask me, I think that's always been the traditional sort of sector for investments in the social sort of space. But currently, I think that's moving a lot to climate. If you ask me, in the Malaysian ecosystem, it is quite nascent. I think a lot of us are learning about how to do climate and environmental impact work in a transformative way rather than in small pockets of work. So, you know, so for example, one of the work that we're doing under climate, because we've been looking at, you know, whether it's forest ecosystems or freshwater or marine ecosystems and so on and so forth. And one of the learning that we've had is that the challenge with climate justice or climate conservation work in the Malaysian ecosystem is the federal and state kind of relationship, yes. Right? So we felt that, you know, if we can demonstrate a sustainable development model for the state where we move them away from the old economic model of being very extractive, whether it's logging and mining and quite a lot of that, that's how can we move towards a more progressive, more climate friendly. So whether it's the carbon credit programs and things like that. So that's one of the initiatives that we're working on, and we're working on that in the state of Perak, because obviously they've got quite a lot of their eco assets still pretty much preserved. And is there something that we could do? So the idea is replication, right? I mean, a corporate foundation or philanthropy, I mean, obviously we can't boil the ocean and we can't solve a major problem, but our role is to catalyze innovation, is to put money and show evidence of how it could potentially be done. And that's what we are excited about, and that's our role. And like I said, that's why I'm really excited about this continuum, right? Because it's completing the work. Otherwise, you know, we do catalytic projects, we do great innovative case studies. Who's going to carry this on? You know, we can't keep doing the same thing. So if we could move them up the value chain in a way, and the companies start looking at this and said, hey, this is a great way for us to pivot our business to be a lot more responsible, then that's how you kind of create the impact. And that's the dream, at least.
Okay.
And maybe you may have some global case studies that you could show where the continuum is complete.
So you look at, you know, social enterprises, which are really, really, you know, for-profit organizations that actually have impact built into their business model. Mm. And, you know, Shaira and I have been talking about how Malaysia has a very vibrant ecosystem of social enterprises, but philanthropy or, you know, discounted capital can only take them up to a certain stage. Mm. But if you really want them to scale and become flourishing businesses, you need investment capital to come in. And that is why we are hopeful that, you know, events like this actually bring in not just philanthropists, but also investors in the same room with the end beneficiaries like these social enterprises, so that you can actually have that continuum mapped out and you really think about how you come together. So if you look at philanthropic capital as first loss or catalytic capital, that actually helps scale the business to a point where it becomes attractive, and then commercial capital comes in and takes over, then that business has a great opportunity to scale. And at the same time, you have policymakers that provide an enabling environment through, you know, policies that actually give them a beneficial tax structure, or, you know, offer them discounted finance, or, you know, guarantees to get loans at preferential rates. So all of that combined is what you need. Okay. It takes a village.
Well, it takes a village. And this is why we have the AVP and Global Conference and Hasanah Forum 2023 to bring all the stakeholders together to improve access for our social enterprises, for instance. Can you talk to us about that in the final 2 minutes that we have? What can we expect? Who's attending? And what do you hope to achieve out of this?
So I am firstly very grateful to Yayasan Hasanah for really being our host partner and welcoming us so warmly into Malaysia. We're very excited to be here. It's the first time in Malaysia. Last year we were in Indonesia, in Bali. We have been in Hong Kong, in Thailand, and in Singapore. So I think it's very exciting for us to be here in Malaysia. Really, all the big names will be here, right from philanthropic institutions like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Ford Foundation, Temasek Trust. We're expecting Tanoto Foundation. We're expecting a lot of participants to come from across Asia, but also from within Malaysia. We are expecting all of the large foundations to really join and share their stories as well. We have high net worth philanthropists who are speaking like Mr. Ajay Piramal from India. We have Belinda Ternoto from Indonesia. We have James Chen from Hong Kong. These are all high net worth philanthropists who have themselves walked on this journey mm-hmm. of supporting a large number of social initiatives and projects in their home country. And we're hoping by them speaking here, they are going to inspire their Malaysian counterparts to also do as mm-hmm. much and share on what they are doing. As I mentioned, we have corporates like KKR, BlackRock, TPG. We have also large multilateral banks coming, the Islamic Development Bank, the Asian Development Bank, the World Bank, IFC. So literally all roads will lead to KL between the 20th and the 23rd.
Okay, and just finally, yeah. Dr. Shahira, yeah. For someone who wants to take part yeah. or be part of it, yeah. Be it individual or corporations, how can they do so?
Yeah, great. So together with the AVPN Global Conference is also the Hassanah Forum 2023, which will bring some localization to the conversation. And we're so grateful for the AVPN and Nena for, you heard the list. You know, the list is super impressive. And that is also one of the reasons why, you know, the Hassanah wanted to bring this to Malaysia to expose our local ecosystem mm-hmm. to these conversations. For anyone who would like to join and participate, of course, we are online. You can search for the AVPN Global Conference. You could find the Hassanah Forum. The Hassanah Forum is actually open to all virtually. So you could go to the website and register and join the conversations virtually. The AVPN Global Conference is, of course, a ticketed conference, but we do have a Malaysia special. So look out for that on the website, and you can register to attend.
All right, that's happening 20th to 22nd of June in Kuala Lumpur. Where exactly in Kuala Lumpur?
Kuala Lumpur Convention Center. KLCC right. Convention Center.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Shahira, and also Nena for sharing some Thank insights you. Into the event and also on impact investment. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you for having
Thank
us,
you
Cynthia.
So much for Thank having you. Us.